Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Morning, rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Well, the due time crew started the week off, and we were shaking the Monday morning blues together. And this week, we talked about lies just a little differently. We went back to our relationship rumors, and we wanted to know if certain things were actually true or not. And one of the things was, the statement, real love never fades. Is that true? Oh, I don't know if real love never fades. Oh, well, the due time crew says, no, real love never fades. You know, we go back to the scripture that says real love never ends. Yeah, remember that scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, yes, real love never fades. Okay, and what else did we ask? Is it true that our mates will always understand us? Well, how is that? No, nobody will always understand us. How in the world is that going to happen? Who always understands anybody? That ain't real. Nope. Not real at all. Okay. What else do we have? We have, okay, the rumor our mate will complete us. Well, we decided that the Bible tells us that God does. Okay? You know, we can't rely on someone else. You know, man can't do that kind of a job. Does God does his job? That's the question. Does God do his job and make sure that we are always prepared for life? If we go to God and God gives us everything we need, is it true that God does his job? Well, we would have to say yes. Wouldn't you say? Yes, I would say so. Okay? And we talked about true love last forever, does it? Well, it can. It can. Just because you're not together doesn't mean you can't still love someone. Right? Right. Right. Okay. All righty. So, We really had an eye opener yesterday. Yes, we have to be very careful with the things that the world tells us is true and the things that the world tells us is not true. Okay? All righty. Well, we couldn't end our morning without getting the switch tip. And the switch tip is tell your story. Yes. Shantee talked about that testimony time and how we are, you know, responsible for giving the testimony that not only shows that God changed our life, but it's supposed to change someone else's life. Yes, yes. We overcome by our testimony. Yes, and we want to make sure that the enemy gets defeated. You know, a couple of scriptures were pulled out about your testimony. Yes, I told you this Bible is inclusive of every single thing that we're going to need to get the job done in our life. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have to make sure that when we stand up and we, you know, tell God is the head of our life and, you know, he woke me up this morning and he started me on our way. That's everybody's story. Yes. Everybody, if everybody's sitting up in that church or that place, they can all say that God woke us up this morning and started us on our way. But your testimony needs to be authentic. Yes, it needs to be something that no one else can tell but you. You know, God waking you up this morning and starting you on your way is only a part of the story. Right? Right. We have to make sure that when we give that testimony, that that testimony tells the story that only we can tell, not the story everyone else can tell. And, you know, God is good. And then everybody says, all the time. And then we say, all the time. Everybody says, God is good. Yeah, well, that's everybody's testimony, or at least it should be. Yes, because if you're standing up talking, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. So in that reality, there's nothing really authentic about that testimony. You know, that's something that's a piece of information that you can just share with everybody, okay? So we want to make sure that, you know, we get up and we tell of God's goodness in our life. All righty? All righty. So today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes, yes, yes. Woo! We are already at Tuesday, another Tuesday. So see, we can all say, God is good. Go ahead and say it all the time. And then I'll say, all the time. And then you say, God is good. Yes, it's Tuesday. And we all got up out of our bed. And we washed our face. And we brushed our teeth. And we are here up. And being a part of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph on this Tuesday morning. And, yeah, God is definitely good. Okay. So, you know, I don't know. What's going on in your life? Do you have a story that you want to talk about? I don't know. Because it's kind of short of a story this morning. Yeah, I got some stuff, but not the things that I really would have wanted to share. Yeah, I don't know what was going on with the news. Yeah, even from last night, I wasn't finding anything that I really wanted to talk about. You know, we could get our stories going. Yeah. But it just didn't happen today. But I give you what I got, because, you know, there's always something to talk about, even in those stories that are not just mind-blowing. Okay? All right. So let's get to that healthy breakfast. Let's get to telling a friend about how good God is this morning. And while we're on with this due time with Pastor Steph, and let's sit still, because I'm coming right back. You know that, right? All right. All right. So sit tight. We'll be right back.
Many people think they don't need to worry about hepatitis B. The truth is that hepatitis B is a serious liver disease caused by a virus. It can take years before symptoms develop, so many infected people don't even know they have it and don't know they could be spreading it, which means everyone should be concerned about it. The good news is prevention is easy, with vaccines that are safe and effective. Talk to your healthcare professional about hepatitis B vaccination.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Good morning. And you're on with the due time with Pastor Steph. And let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. Yes, God has brought us safely through the night. And we are on to it's Tuesday morning. Yes. And I am grateful, and I'm sure you are too. So I'm glad you could join me today. And we're going to get our conversation started. Yes. So, get those pens up. Get those pens up. I got something for you. You know, I've been trying to lose weight. You know, we've been on that quest to lose weight. And it's very hard to find things to really snack on. And I found some olives. Yeah, olives. And, you know, you just pop a few in your mouth and it don't last very long. Nah, I don't eat them for a long time. You know, a few is good. And then I try to find something else to pop in my mouth. You know, you just have, like, you just want to chew on something. Yeah. Well, there's not many things you can really chew on that you could just pop in your mouth and walk around and, you know, you don't have to sit with a fork or anything like that. That's really not going to cause you to gain weight. Everything is fattening these days. So, I mean, it's you know, I'm trying to stay away from the chips and things like that. I even bought some Tostitos just the other day, and I have to say, I only ate a few. I'm really trying to get this weight down. So, I just happened to come across this little article about olives. Yeah. I remember making red rice and putting olives in it. Did you used to do that? Well, I think after reading this article, I cut down on the rice. But when I do make some red rice, I think I might throw some olives in it, because olives have a lot of health benefits. Well, we should know because we talk about olive oil all the time. Where do you think olive oil comes from? Olive. All right, so get those pens up and let's get to writing. All right, what can olives do for your health? Well, olives can reduce inflammation. Oh, bing, 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 bing. We need that. Remember we talked last week about the inflammation in your body ends up showing up on the outside of your body. So olives can definitely help reduce inflammation. Yes. Okay. It says olives contain a lot of antioxidants, which have been associated with reducing one's risk of chronic diseases like heart disease and cancer, as well as reducing inflammation in our body. Alrighty. Number two, olives regulate cholesterol levels. Oh, we've been talking about that. Yes, we've been talking about those cholesterol levels that have been elevated. Well, don't just cook with olive oil. Eat some olives. Pop a few olives in your mouth. Okay. Number three. Come on now. Olives can help manage high blood pressure. Okay. Yes. They have been really good with the antioxidants. And once you have the antioxidants, they fight high blood pressure. All right? And the next thing I mentioned just a minute ago, olives may help prevent cancer. Okay? They have been doing studies and found that the rate of certain cancers are lower in the Mediterranean than in the U.S. because they have a more olive oil rich diet, as well as eating olives with their food. And primarily, olives have been known to fight breast cancer. Yes, it suppresses the breast cancer cells. All righty. Number five, olives support skin health. Yes, they said they are a great source of vitamin E. And, you know, vitamin E is good with healing. Like on the skin, you definitely want to get that olive in your system because they say that olives help defend against skin cancer and premature aging. Wow. Okay. And they say that olives are very good regardless of whether they're green olives or black olives. Okay. And they say there's actually many different types of olives. Yeah, because, you know, you could go buy olives in a can or olives in a jar. And they say that either one are very good for you. The green ones are a little more salty, and that's natural salt. Yes, they're not adding anything. The green olives are a little bit higher in salt content than the black olives. And if you've ever eaten them, you've definitely taste the difference, okay? And you want to definitely get those olives in your system, okay? So I thought that might be a little interesting for you today. Alrighty. Now, what can we talk about since it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday? Well, this is something that I found a little while ago. And they were talking about how black women, they took a survey and they found that black women really are dreading going back to work more than the other side of the fence. Yes. Now, you're in the workplace. What are you feeling? They said that when they did a survey that on this side of the fence, they said that they would sooner quit than go back to some of the jobs that they have. Yeah. And one of the biggest reasons why is because of the quote-unquote silent discrimination in the workplace. Yes. They say up to 24% of our side of the fence people, of African-American people, really feel that they experience discrimination on the job in one way or another. It's not just men. It's not just women. It's both sides of the fence that are feeling like, hey, you know, they have this secret discrimination that goes on in the workplace. And they can feel the difference in the treatment. They see the difference in the treatment. They say that research has shown that black women are less likely to feel valued by their employer or treated with respect like their coworkers are. And they, you know, being out of work for so long and working from home, they don't miss being, you know, not being in the workplace. Yeah, so, you know, they have, like, some of these people that are clamoring to go back to the job. Yeah, they're like, not me. Not me. They are really, really, really not interested in going back to the job the way other people are, because they say they really don't want to deal with it anymore, and they really don't miss it. Yeah. I mean, cabin fever means something different when it comes to thinking about going back to the job, back to the workplace. So they're really looking for more jobs that you can work from a home. And I have to tell you, I'm honestly believing that now that a lot of these employers are finding that, you know, their employees can work from home. I mean, they may have to implement a few more things, you know, put a little more things in place, but I don't think they're going to go back for that big high rent. And, you know, remember there was a lot of real estate and stuff going up before the pandemic, and they had to finish that. And my thing is, who's going to be renting these places when all of these employers are finding out that, you know, because listen, the most expensive, what do you call it? The biggest expense. Yeah, that's the way I want to say it. The biggest expense for an employer is payroll and rent. Then it's insurance. Yeah. So think about it. You can't get rid of health insurance, and you can't get rid of payroll. But there's a possibility you can get rid of the rent. I mean, a lot of people were, you know, trying to get everybody back to the job or to the workplace because they were paying the rent. But a lot of employers gave up the real estate because they didn't want to pay as long as the people were at home. And, you know, unfortunately, everything went up, and real estate is not going to come down. They're not going to be the only thing that comes down. They're going up as well. Because remember now, they got to make up for lost income as well. So, our women are really not looking to go back into the workplace. What about you? Give me a hint. 347-285-7777. Are you interested in going back to the workplace? Is that like something that, you know, like, hey, I got, you know, this cabin fever that everybody had? Yeah. Was that bigger to you than actually going back and experiencing some of the stuff that you were able to leave behind when you were working from home? Okay, so let me know. Be kind enough to let me know what our listeners feel and think. Okay, what else? What else can we talk about? Well, I came across this article, and I thought it was kind of interesting because I kind of subscribe to this. And they give you like some advice as to what to wear when you get on a plane, when you're traveling. And this is what the flight attendants are saying. And they're saying that you don't want to wear anything constricting. Yeah, make sure your clothes are loose and that you can move around. And they say that you should wear elastic waist pants. And I have to agree. Yeah, you don't want to be in no seat on no plane and you got to worry about your pants being fastened. Yes, you want to make sure you got on some elastic waisted pants, especially if you're not, you know, on the smaller side. You want to make sure that you, you know, got on something that's really, really comfortable, okay, around the waist. What else are they saying? They're saying that wear long sleeve shirts, thin long sleeve cotton shirts. Yes, they say it's really more comfortable to keep on, you know, and you got to make sure your arms are covered in case it gets a little cold. You don't have to worry about, you know, getting cold and needing a jacket and having to do all of that moving around. So they say just put on a thin, long sleeve cotton shirt, okay? Oh, they say backless sandals. Backless sandals. And they say, now here's the thing that I'm a little surprised. They said they would really advise against flip-flops or slides. And here's why. They say because if it's an emergency evacuation, yes, you want to make sure you have on something on your feet that you can jump up and move around suddenly, and you don't have to worry about something sliding off your feet. Well, I got to tell you, I got to have my slippers on. Oh, my goodness gracious, on my backless shoes. I can't stand it. I can't stand to be in shoes, period. I hate shoes. As soon as I come home, before I can get that door open real good, them shoes are coming off my feet. So, yeah, they're saying that make sure you don't wear those high-heeled shoes because you don't want to have to bust up and run, and then you got to take them high-heeled shoes off. And I'm going to tell you something. Over the past few years, I've noticed that even their attire has changed. Yes, remember before they always had on their high-heeled shoes. They had on the little skirts and, you know. Most of them are wearing pants and flats. Yes. They still have the uniform, but they do not look the way they looked years ago. So they say make sure you wear a comfortable shoe with a back on it. So they're showing like Converse sneakers and, you know, the decks, what we call Vans now. They're decks. Okay, so they say also try to stay away from all the jewelry. Yes, they say take the jewelry off before you get on the airplane. And that way, nothing gets caught. You know, again, they're talking about sudden movement. And make sure that nothing gets caught on the earrings or bracelets. Yes. Okay. Also, they say don't wear a lot of layers. Not a lot of layers. Make sure you have on just a couple of layers, maybe a thin shirt. And like I said, the long sleeve shirt or a thin shirt with maybe a thin cardigan, you know, a little sweater. Mm-hmm. Yes. So those are the things that they're really suggesting that you wear that would make your travel time much more easy. Okay? All right. So this is my little piece of advice to you today. All right. Okay, so wait. There's two more stories I gotta talk about. And where is it? Okay, yeah. Check this out. Something to talk about. All right. So there's a story of a couple, and they get to arguing. Okay, so I got to tell it from this side. You know, I like to tell my little stories. So the guy is 30 years old. They live in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And he said he and his wife started arguing in the car. And they were arguing because they were arguing over the car initially. And then later on, they started arguing about not having sex. I guess the argument got so heated, she refused to have sex with him. Well, he grabbed a gun, put it to her head, and pulled the trigger. Yes, and it's her who's telling the story somehow or another. She said as she walked past him to leave, they got out the car, and they were in, like, the living room. Uh-huh. And he points the gun and pulls the trigger, and she's bleeding from her head, so he did hit her, but thank God the bullet did not penetrate her head. But overall, he said he shot her because she refused to have sex with him, and that was the final straw. Now, the Bible does tell us, ladies, that, you know, we don't have the liberty of withholding sex from our husbands. Yes. You know, you're supposed to agree. Yes. And you have to agree on a specific time. So in other words, you're not supposed to just agree not to have sex. You know, we're just not going to have sex. They said, you know, the Bible says, because you're letting the enemy get a little, any crack or crevice. And you're supposed to make sure that you agree. And it should only be for, like, prayer. It shouldn't be for much else. But, yes, you're supposed to agree to a time, and then, you know, you resume your activities. But you cannot be talking about, you made me mad. See, like she said, she got mad because of the car situation. Yeah. And she was like, no, I'm not having sex. Well, clearly, that ain't her first time doing that. Nah, you ain't just going to bust out because you got into an argument over the car and you going to hold back the sex. Well, in addition to the fact that they did find out that they had, domestic violence issues. Yeah, you had domestic violence issues, but you can't, you know, you think about it. We always talk about the fact that the Bible discusses everything. Even that, can you imagine the Bible discussing whether you should hold back from your husband or not? Yeah, it's in there. Go look it up. And don't be pulling that nonsense. You know, you just might get shot. Oh, my goodness gracious, yeah. But he actually pulled out a gun and wanted to end her life for that one. So we're just going to make sure we do not get involved in that. So if, ladies, if that's your thing, make sure that you understand that God is not pleased with that, and do not do that anymore. Because think about it. You know, it says so that the enemy doesn't get, you know, a foothold in this business here. Because now you're holding back your favors, as you call it, and now guess who's offering the favors? Everybody else looks appetizing after that. Yes, you can do stuff like that and think that it ain't going to have, there's not going to be no repercussions. He's not going to think or feel anything. Are you kidding? No. So let's make sure we do what we need to do. All right? Let's make sure we do what we need to do. Well, the last thing I want to talk about today, we always talk about how, you know, this world is losing respect for the church more and more and more. Well, they have a man who was caught on camera allegedly attempting to light the church on fire. Yeah. They say that the video shows a man throwing what appears to be a scarf into the church vestibule. And then he's seen lighting something on fire and throws it inside the church. Now, I mean, come on. And it's out here in Queens. And he's on our side of the fence. So what, I mean, just what won't you do anymore? It's just really a free-for-all. The church is, has no more importance than the bodega. Nope. And that's really something that we really, really, really got to pay attention to. Yeah, really. We really got to pray. Pray and then pray for the church. Build it. Because really, people have really... I mean, now who made you mad that you're going to throw something in the church that's lit? To set the church on fire? And if the church was open, they saw him throw something in the vestibule first. So that means that somebody was in the church. So now you can't even go to church without worrying about being burned up? Oh, my goodness gracious. It's time to talk to our panel today of Due Time Crew. Ah, what are we talking about here? Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you, Lord.
You're doing okay.
God is good all the time.
All right, then. And all the time?
God is good.
All right now. And we got to say that stuff to make sure that we are shaking the Monday morning blues on Tuesday. Then we got to do
That's
what we
right.
got to do. All righty. So we're talking about quite a few things here today. It's Tuesday. Let's talk about it Tuesday. We're talking about that the survey shows that the black women now dread going back to the workplace because of the silent discrimination that they feel they're sharing. They're experiencing. Wayne, what do you think?
I would agree, because of when I was working, you always saw that, you know, it would always be where that the, if I like you, then they will be able to have different assignments than the ones that don't. And always seem like we would have more work to do than they do. And then now people have gotten to the place now where of being more comfortable of being home. If I was working from home, I would rather stay home myself because it's much easier and because of the fact that you don't have to deal with the struggle of that extra stress that people will put on you.
Okay. And that's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're at home, you know, they're talking about people getting cabin fever. But at least when you're home, you don't have to deal with all that nonsense. So, you know, they're trying to find more jobs to stay home. So, you know, I wonder if they're going to really pursue this. I mean, if you got to go back to the workplace, then you got to go back to the workplace. There's nothing that you can do, but it is something to think about. It is definitely something to think about. Let's talk about this husband and wife thing. Girl.
Yes.
They didn't fought over the car. And next, she said, no, I'm not giving it up. He said, that's all right, because you don't give it up to nobody. Oh, goodness gracious. Pointed the gun at her head and pulled the trigger as she walked by him in the house. What's your thought?
Wow, my first thought was, look, thank you, Lord. But I think that it was more than just that. You know, a lot of times that builds up anger also. And because a lot of times when we argue, you know, we start off that it was about the car, but it really wasn't. It was something that you didn't do last week or, you know, the week before, something that was held back and nobody talked about it. And a lot of times it becomes that buildup, you know, where that they become, and it could be on either side, that where it becomes, you know, something else. You know, and you're right, you know, the Bible does tell us that we cannot hold it, you know, from them, you know, and but for him to be able to shoot her and she didn't die, she's just praising him all around. And see, I know he was more shocked that she didn't die than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Know, like,
because if you're pointing the gun at her head, you intended to kill her. There is no misunderstanding this at all. Yeah, you meant for her to die.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. And our last story, with the gentleman being seen on camera throwing a lit item into the church.
Now that's crazy. That's really crazy. You know, it just, when you were saying that story, it just made me think about all these things that people have been doing. You know, how the man came into the church and shooting up the people. We have to really be prayerful and careful. Because, you know, normally we come in, you know, and nobody is guarding the door most of the time. Especially like
right.
If you have a foyer, you have to come in the sanctuary, you know. So now it comes to the place where that soon we're going to have security. You know, well, I do know some churches that do have that. But, you know, have some real security outside, you know, in the foyer, you know, watching the cameras all around. I'm hoping that they caught him, you know, on the one that was on camera with that. But what do we do now? Where do we go from here where that, like you said, people are disrespecting? We have talked about that on here, you know, how people used to not smoke in front of the church and, you know, but now everything is like up for grabs with us. Now, you know, coming in the building, you don't know who is who. You don't know who's sitting in a congregation, who don't like who. We have to be very prayerful and careful of who and watching. You know, back in the day, everybody would go to the front, close their eyes. Oh, you can't do that now. You don't know who's going to come through that door.
Right. Oh, my goodness gracious.
You have to be very careful.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else, too, when you were saying about who is he mad at, you know, a lot of times is when the people in the church, and I'm not saying that he could have been part of, but it could have been too, you know, where that somebody, we'll use the pastor as example, that he wanted to do something. And the pastor might have said, you know, no, not right now, or he was going through something and took his anger out on everybody. Because if you threw it in the foyer and that's the only way to get out, then what happens?
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's the scary part. You just don't have any control over what people are doing. And like you said, we're going to have to be not only prayerful but on guard. And it's sad that we have to be on guard in church. It really does. You know, the church doors are open clearly for people to come in and to get prayer or to have a conversation, get some help. And you got to worry about somebody standing on the outside throwing something in, you know, that's already on fire, which has the, you know, capability of burning up something, you know, and the building. So, gosh, you know, just stay prayerful, everybody. Stay prayerful. We want to thank you, Pastor Charlotte, for joining us today. Let's have our conversation
thank
with
you.
Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Good morning, Minister AJ. Good morning. Listen, you were one who had to return to work. You know, the article we read was about, you know, the African American women who dread going back to work because of the silent discrimination and issues that go on, you know, in the workplace, and they'd rather work from home. What about you? Was that an issue for you, or did you notice something that if you had your way, you would have stayed home and not returned to work because of the stuff that was going on the job?
That was definitely an issue for me. Come to find out, my boss gave certain ones the opportunity to say if they wanted to come back or not.
Wow.
Which was crazy to me. Yeah, I got the phone call, and, you know, the HR within the HR, you know, the HR amongst the employees, you know, was telling me, listen, you know, he gave certain people the opportunity, and it was the way he worded everything. When he called me, he was like, you know, are you coming back? What's the plan? It wasn't like you have a choice whether or not you want to come back right now, you know. And, of course, a lot of people just decided to collect the unemployment and keep moving, you know what I mean? So, you know, it wasn't like I was given a choice. And then when I came back, it was, you know, could you pick up this shift? Could you do this? Could you do that? It was always the unlimited overtime, but now you're working me crazy, you know what I mean? So it was definitely a bad situation. If I had my way, I would have definitely stayed out.
Wow. That's something to hear, that somebody had an option and you didn't have the option. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the husband and the wife. Oh, they argued over the car. Then she said no. She thought she was just going to say no and that was going to be it. She didn't know her life depended on that no. What's your thought?
Just terrible, man. You know, some people, you know, have, let me put it this way, an evil appetite. Evil. Just evil. You know, and I'm pretty sure there was some signs of this type of arguing before they even got married. You know, pretty sure, you know. But just in case it wasn't, it's just a bad situation, you know. You know, you have to learn how to come together and agree. You know, like you said, don't be putting off from him and, you know, get your time together. And, you know, so, you know, you got to definitely walk in agreement as a married couple. That's very important, you know. And some of these things need to be discussed before you get married. You know, they should be discussed before you get married. What's your appetite? What do you like? Do you like it around the clock? Do you like it 24/7? Then you ask questions. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have prayer time? Do you even have time for prayer? Or is that all that you want? You need to ask questions. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, again, you know, you can, like Pastor Charlene said, and definitely is in the article that there was an issue of domestic violence. Like she said, there ain't no way in the world you just gonna bust out no gun the first time, you know. And she also probably was in the habit of saying no, you know. And, you know, now that you already incited from whatever argument that took place, now she tells you no. And I'm gonna be honest, you know, we grown folk here. Listen, and Pastor Charlene, you can, you know, feel free to respond to this too. Now let me just set the tone here. We've been arguing, okay, over the car or anything, and especially if there's some domestic violence history here, and you come ask me for sex. Now, I may not mean no forever, but I surely mean no right now, because do I really want to go to bed with you in that particular mindset? How are we having any level of intimacy? You going to be banging on me, or it's going to be all rough, or, you know, I mean, come on, Pastor Charlene, I'm gonna talk to you first. You know, you're a woman. You know, no, I may not even, let's say for argument's sake, I may not be in the habit of saying no. But if me and you've been arguing and you already got anger issues, and now you come talking to me about sex, am I going to want to go ahead and do this with you now? No, let's wait till, you know, let's calm down. Take a nap. Go do something. Go watch a movie. Do something. Then we'll discuss, you know, whether we're going to do this or not, because you're not going to be banging me all up and tossing me around and flipping me from side to side. And, you know, you just want to do what you need to do to settle whatever you got going on with you. I mean, like I said, we grown folks here. Let's talk. Let's talk about it Tuesday. Yes, we're talking about the church folk too. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, Pastor Charlene. What's your thought?
You ain't getting it. You better believe it. I'm with you. You won't be slamming my head on no wall and throwing my foot over across out the window. Oh, no. As you said, the grown folks talk. That's right. No. You calm down and get it together. Go over there. Now we hear the part come. Let us pray. You know, because you want to say, because the Bible says that you can't keep, because now it's going to be a whole other argument about the Bible. Because the Bible says that you can't keep it from me. Well, right now, I'm letting you know that it no means no. And then I'm going to say, and then I'm going to flip it, because y'all know sometimes, here I go. I'm going to flip it, and I'm going to say, well, would you like something to eat?
Well,
let me go in the kitchen, and I'm going to cook you something.
I'm gonna say, you there? No, can I go have a burger first? Let me eat a burger first. Let me get my mind right. Then maybe we can discuss this thing here. But right now, with the way you acted, and I'm hungry, no, it's definitely a no right now. Let me go up in the kitchen, whip up a couple of burgers, and then we can talk. All right, Minister Agent, come on. That's right. Afterwards, then we can have this conversation. All right, Minister Agent, what are we talking about here? You know, come on. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. You ain't in no normal frame of mind. What's going on?
Let's be honest. I think sometimes that's how a lot of men work. You know, after watching the movie Baby Boy, it seems like makeup sex was some of the best sex. So, yeah. Being honest, I don't think he gonna hurt you. I think, you know, the punishment would have been less giving it to him than not giving it to him. Because here it is. This man done put a whole gun to your head. I think you would have been better off giving it to him.
Well, I didn't know that was the option. I didn't know it was either give it to you rough or get it rough or get it to my head, get a gun to my head. I didn't know that was the option. What did you say?
You know, I don't know.
Wait, speak in the phone. Why now you're not talking in the phone? Talk in the phone. I can't hear you.
Because this is a very touchy subject.
Listen, we grown folks. We ain't talking no real intimate
right,
details,
so.
But again, we're talking about, let's be honest. Are you really going to, as a woman, you're not going to say yeah?
Well, as a man, you're going to say yeah because that's how men are. Sometimes men want to argue, but then the next minute, they're over the argument. They're ready to be intimate. And some of the best sex, we ought to be honest, is makeup sex.
Okay, so we're not talking about the gentle side. We're talking about the makeup side. Because makeup, most times, it's not no, it, you know, we're talking about you mad. You mad because we didn't just, listen, you still had to be in a mad frame of mind. Somewhere in your brain, you were still kind of mad. Because how you end up with a gun to my head if you weren't mad? So here's my thought. You're absolutely right. If you're talking about makeup, then that ain't going to be nothing gentle. So now I'm going to have to endure, like Pastor Sharma said, you know, my leg this way, and now you didn't throw me over that way. And, you know, if that's our option right now to deal with it, and that's what, you know, because men are pretty brutish, you know, so now I got to deal with your anger in the bed. Oh, my goodness. You will probably get a no.
Anger only you didn't do us but for a moment. Then joy. And then joy. And then joy.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I got one for him. So now let's go back to yesterday. You know, we don't know what might be in that food. So you got to be very careful. Because you trying to take me out. And
that's
trying to take you out.
That's why I don't want a meal in replacement for sex. You keep that meal. I can set my food. Exactly. Don't come. If I want whoopee, don't be trying to give me no meal. I don't want it.
Well, we're talking about a godly woman. A godly woman is not going to try to knock you off instead of, you know, just you know what. But in all honesty, and I bring this up because this is real. You know, a lot of times, again, in church or church people don't like to have these conversations. And to be honest, you know, I did bring up the fact, and I meant it, you know, a lot of times. And I used to talk about this with the ladies, you know, earlier in my conversations when I first started, when it was one-to-one, I did talk to the ladies quite often about, you know, how we church women as well, you know, do say no. And, you know, that's not something that, you know, God is, you know, okay with. You got to make sure that, you know, there is some level of agreement and conversation. But we have to look at the reality of it, where if we've just gotten finished arguing, and again, that, you know, for men it's one thing, for women it's another thing. And, you know, do I want to say yes, and then I'm going to be laying there looking up in the ceiling with my eyes, you know, rolling up in my head to my, okay, hurry up and get over, you know, or can we wait a minute? And can we converse or, again, put a pause in this thing to you go eat a burger, you go read a newspaper, or somebody go take a nap or, you know, take a walk or whatever the situation is, and then we come back, and then I don't have a problem saying yes because now it will be enjoyable for both of us. You know, I don't want to believe that I got to just be there because I can't say no. You know, as Christian people, we've got to be able to walk this thing out. Come on, Pastor Sharma, what's your thought?
Absolutely, absolutely. You made a good point, you know, because once everybody go into their corners, you know, and then when you come back, now you can enjoy and, you know, of having that conversation and being intimate with each other, you know, because when you're in it and you're mad, you know, it's like you said, oh, come on, hurry up. All right, let's just go, you know, and then, oh, wasn't it good? No. Okay. So now we all get up and it's over. You know what I mean? So you thinking that you know, you hit a home run or whatever, but you have to be able to have that because of, you know, you want to be able to have that intimacy, but even before you get to the actual act. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what women, we like. We want you to be able. Men are called hunters. So if you're hunting us, you know, you put out the bait. And then the bait is where the, you know, you're making it romantic or you're making it where that she is well pleased. I don't believe that the Lord wants us to give it to you and you don't bust me upside and I'm holding my eye in my hand, you know what I mean, and for me to give it to you, you know. My arm is broke, you know what I mean? No, you got a gun to my head. Oh, I don't believe that the Lord is pleased with that, you know. So, therefore, let's get it together. You go take a walk, come back. I have the music playing, you know, whatever that needs to be done to set the mood right. But no, you will not take it like that. And I'm speaking to the church women. I'm speaking to the church women because we know the world people ain't going to take that. But the church women, no. Go to Jesus. Talk to him.
Oh, goodness gracious. Listen, I invite you as the listener to, you know, to be a part of the conversation as always. 347-285-7777. We know that the Bible, before we get to Minister AJ, we know that the Bible says that, you know, you cannot withhold or you should not withhold from you, one another. You know, it's mostly women, but we're going to say one another. Excuse me. You know, unless you or both agree for a season and a period of time and pretty much for prayer, and that you agree on this and then you go back because the enemy really can get a foot into the door when things like that are on pause, whether it's even in an agreed upon time. You know, that's what God said, hey. You know, talk about this thing and get back to your normal activity, because we don't really want the enemy to find a place to get in between the two of you. But yet at the same time, you know, like Pastor Charlotte said, you know, are you taking it or am I giving it, or is this mutual? You know, so come on, Minister AJ, what you got to say about this last comment?
Trying to remember the comment now. Yeah, I was all chuckling about that, and men don't think this is funny, you know. yeah, I mean, I think men and women are very different when it comes to the subject. I think when a man wants it, he wants it. He doesn't want to be put off, you know what I mean? It's just the time to really pray, you know. He wants to, and I don't know, I guess he's, you know, and I feel like women need affection. And a man needs sex. That's always been my thing. You know, a man needs sex. It's not, you know what I mean, something that we want to live without, especially if we're in a relationship, especially when you're talking about being with one person and being married to one person. You don't want that one person putting off for you. It's very tough to survive in this realm of temptation.
Okay. So the question on the table is, okay, so you've had this argument or this disagreement,
yeah,
or it's at a heated, you know, moment. It's everybody's upset, you know, and now here you come talking about you want it. You know, can we, with your need on the table, you know, can we, you know, Pastor Charlene, go make burgers, and, you know, you walk around the block, play a video game or whatever, and then we come back later and we talk. You know, we're talking about a Christian mentality. We're not talking about the street people. We're not talking about, you know, the non-believer, because I'm coming back to something you said in a minute, but I want to make sure, because we got a comment from the listener. Can we go to neutral corners and be able to come back and now everybody have an enjoyable moment?
For me, it's a no. For me, it's a no. We got no. All jokes aside, it's for me, it's a no. You know, it's for men. It's the moment. You know what I mean? Because when you take that space and time now, for a man, for most men, we're thinking about that argument, and now we're playing back too much in our mind. That might be what we need in the moment. Let's get it done, and then maybe we'll be too tired to even argue after, you know what I mean? And maybe we can hash it out and talk it out maybe a little later or the next day. But for me, most time in the moment, you just got to get that done. Get it done.
Wow.
You want me to be
no,
honest?
I do. Yeah. I do. Listen,
yeah,
y'all always come back to me with this. You want me to be honest? Yes, I want you to be honest because you're not the only person who feels like this. So, yeah, I want you because we need to talk about this thing here.
That's how it is. That's how it is for a man.
At least
pray,
for you.
Have praise and worship. It's just not. We need to get this done. For us, we're playing back in our mind, and it's going to be worse after we done thought it through. It's going to be worse.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to put a pause right there, and we're going to get a comment from our listeners. So let's say good morning to Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm shocked, but I'm well, thank you. Come on, what you got for us? What do the listeners say?
Okay, so a listener sent in, there was no makeup sex. It wasn't quote-unquote makeup sex because I was still mad. I just did it because I was in need, and it's not because I was in love at the time with my husband. Because he was a liar and a cheat.
So wait, is this from a female or from a male? Oh, she said husband. Read the statement again for me, please.
It wasn't quote-unquote makeup sex because I was still mad. I just did it because I was in need. And it's not because I was in love at the time with my husband because he was a liar and a cheat.
Wow. So she was in need as well. Wow. Okay. Woo. Okay, thank you. Okay, so you know what? I got you on the line. What's your thought?
It's crazy, but it is very much possible, even on the female side, for it to be a legit argument. Like arguing like intense, and then for even the female to initiate the sex during that time.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I haven't lived.
Yeah, so it as remedial as it is to be in a heated argument, like not a, oh, you just annoying me, but like a real argument, you're mad, he's mad, but then the woman would initiate, yeah.
Wow. Well, okay, so you're saying it, and the listener said, you know, she was in need. So it's not just a male thing here. It's something that's mutual. Wow. Okay. Thank you so much, Shanti.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a nice day. All right. We'll take more comments, 347-285-7777. So I have a question. This now just a fleshly thing. So whether it's coming from the woman or coming from the man, isn't it just a fleshly thing? So now I got to deal with your flesh? Pastor Shauna, what's your thought?
Absolutely. I'm going to get mine. It don't matter. You ain't got to talk to me. You ain't got to say nothing. I do me. And, oh, well, if you didn't, whatever, bye. So, yes, flesh. That was a fleshly thing because we still mad. And it made me think of that movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, if y'all ever saw that. You know, how they,
I did, but
you
I don't
know,
remember
they,
that part of it.
The part is where that, you know, they was always trying to kill each other, but they were asleep with each other, and they were married. It's funny. It's a good funny show. You know, they was assassinated.
Okay, yeah. So we're talking about the fact that, like, okay, so like the listener said, you know, it wasn't that she was. It was a matter of the heart, because her husband was a liar and a cheat.
Yeah.
But it was just her,
right.
her fleshly need that she needed, and that's what she was addressing at the time. And it wasn't makeup sex, because she wasn't trying to make up. She just wanted to deal with the sexual part of it. All right. Okay.
Right. So you get yours, and I don't care about yours. I'm not thinking about nothing else. I'm just going to get mine. And, you know, so that's a man move. High five.
Well, it's not just a man move. We've heard from the female, and we've heard from Shanti that it comes from the female side as well.
Right, but I'm saying, you know, that's that man part in us. You know, we got a little bit of everything in us. So, you know, meaning that most men are not sensitive in that area. So, reverse role. I'm not sensitive either. And being honest, I've done it. You know, so back in the day. You know,
okay. We got a comment, but before we'll take that comment, what'd you say, Pastor Charlotte, in your former life?
Yes, in my first marriage, yes.
Okay. All right. Minister A.D., I'll give you a chance to elaborate or comment before we take the comment from the listener.
I mean, I totally agree. Even with Shanti's, that has been there, done that, where the woman was the initiator. You know, I'm too bad. I don't even want to do it right now. But the woman is the initiator, so I've been there and done that too. So definitely goes both ways. It, fleshly things, I can say yeah, but sometimes it's arguing make you more attractive at the moment. You know, I don't know what it is, but if it's the energy, I don't know, you know. But, yeah, it happens. Definitely happens.
Okay. All right, well, you know, we would have a comment from this individual, and, Lord, I'm holding my breath. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Pastor KL, good morning.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord thank you. Tell him thank you. I don't know why y'all didn't. I ain't know why y'all didn't pick me for this show.
That's why we didn't pick you for this show. What you got, Pastor Gale?
I see it on both sides. I see it with Minister AJ. You know, when he talks about, you know, men want what they want. You know, that's about we could just been fighting. You know, and then all of a sudden you look good. You know, you look different. When you mad.
Oh, my.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness.
You look plain Jane when everything's all right. But when you mad, it's a sexy look, you know?
Wow.
And then, you know, some of the females, they try to diffuse the issue by saying, okay, baby, I know you had a long day. Come on, let's have sex. You know, so it's not that they wanted it. They just know how crazy you are. And they try to diffuse it by saying, come on, let's have sex. Now, I've been in situations where, you know, where we just want what we want. So I'm like, listen, let's just do this. You know, and sometimes, you know, in just doing this, in the excitement, you know, and we all grown, the woman might have said, hey, baby, you came too fast. And I said, no, you came too late.
Oh, my
you
God.
Gotta get it
oh, my God. You got to get a sex of button. Oh, my Lord have mercy. Oh, my Lord have mercy. See, this is why we're going to screen your comment before you make them. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I'm just saying it works on both sides. It works on both sides.
We can use to say these things. The other words, because, you know, people might be passing out on the other side. I mean, we grow.
You went to the park too quick. I'm sorry. Went to the park too quick. You went on the slide too long.
Well,
we didn't swing like we wanted to.
Okay, so listen. So we're talking about the married couple and either one of them holding back from the other one. And now we've argued, for real, on a serious note. So now, are you saying that we're at the point where it just doesn't even matter whether we're mad at one another? We're just not mad at one another anymore, that it is a fleshly thing at times, and we just want to get it done. We just want to do it. Is that what you're saying?
It's definitely, it's definitely a fleshly thing. I mean, come on, let's be honest. When we're aroused or when we want to have sex, we're not thinking in a spiritual manner. You know, we're not bringing grapes and stuff in the room and all that. We're not thinking spiritually, we think it naturally. So it is a natural thing, and your flesh wants what it wants. Is it right? No, it's not always right, but it is what it is. You know, you said, well, she go make a burger and he go play video games. Well, to me, that's even worse. Most men who play video games, they play video games of killing folks. You know, there's no more Donkey Kong. So now the aggression has gotten even worse. You know, so I think that's an issue. You definitely don't want me to play no game. Because my games are physical games. You know, I'm shooting somebody, I'm running somebody over in a car. That's the video games now. There's no more Mario Brothers. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we don't go play the game. But do you go play basketball or do you, you know, I'm trying to hear, is it really let's go to a neutral corner so everybody is enjoying this thing here, or is it just let's get this banged out and, you know, we'll deal with the, like Mr. AJ said, we'll deal with the talking later. Is that how we're handling relationships where, you know, we'll talk later? What happens? Because later, a lot of times, doesn't even happen. So now we've taken the and that's what I mean when I say fleshly. I don't mean bringing grapes or whatever. I'm talking about the intimacy, you know, and the emotional part of it. Because sometimes you just do it because, like you said, you know, hey, I just have that feeling, I just want to get it done. There are other times when you want to really experience something special with your husband or your wife, and this is what you're doing. So that's what I say. That's what I mean when I say fleshly. It means you just, that's none of that is even in the equation. And that's what I'm saying. You know what? Okay, so I'm not gonna sit and say I'm being unrealistic and believe that every time, even when you're not arguing, that there are just times when we just want to have sex or make love or whatever, however you say. But there are times when, you know, you do want to be, you know, you did want, there should be some feeling behind it, and, you know, but here's how we should put it. Have sex, make love. Let's just, for this particular conversation, we're talking about that. So my thing is, I want to make love. Is it too much to expect when we didn't had an argument and now you are ready, for whatever the reason is, whether you want to make love or have sex, for me to really ask, can we go to neutral corners, go have a, you know, a talk with your boys or whatever, play basketball if the game is not the thing that you do or should do, and come back to meet at the neutral point and then say, okay, you know what, now, like Pastor Sean said, now the tone is set, you know, mood is different. Is it like that unrealistic?
I don't think it's unrealistic at all, Pastor Steph. I really, really don't. I think it's how close you are with God, how spiritual you are. Because, you know, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. So if you dismiss me and say, hey, go play ball or go do this, I'm feeling as a man as I'm being dismissed. And if I don't look at it in a spiritual way, you know, to get my mind clear, you know, the devil can take my mind somewhere else to do other things where I'm not playing basketball at all. See, there's a way to handle it. If I feel as a grown man that I am being dismissed, then you bruise my ego. And now I have to go where my ego has been stroked or can be stroked, or feel that I'm appreciative or I'm valued.
Wow.
So it depends on where you are in God. Wow. It depends on your spiritual walk.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for answering that, addressing that. Okay, well, thank you so much, Pastor KL.
Yes,
we screen your calls. I'm going to have Shaq
you
screen your calls the next time. Bless
I won't
you,
call.
Too,
I won't
brother.
Call no more.
Have a blessed one. Thank you.
You
wow.
Do
the same. All right. Well, you know, it's you know, how I guess that's where we're talking, you know, about when God says the enemy can have an opportunity to put his foot across that doorstep when, you know, you feel him dismissed. Minister AJ, I'm going to ask you, is that something that you think about, you know, hey, I'm being dismissed and you shouldn't tell me no? Is that something that crosses your mind?
Absolutely, because when you've been married and sometimes what the woman will do is, you know, she's quick to say no. But then if you say no, she's going to look at you like you got 15 heads. And it shouldn't be like that. You know what I'm saying? If it's going to be, you know, where you can say no, then I can say no. And that's what I'm saying. It's a lot more, well, sometimes we think it's just the men. No, there's some women out there just like that, where if you say no to them, oh, then what is it? You're cheating? What's going on? What are you getting it from somewhere else? Then now it's a whole problem. But when you said no, it was legit. It was okay to say no. And so, and I think it honestly goes both ways. There's a lot of women who are initiated. You know what I mean? You could be mad as the devil. And they be sitting there, you know, trying to, you know, come on, baby. You know, trying to initiate it. So, you know, definitely goes both ways.
Wow. Pastor Charlene, any other thoughts you got going on in your head? Any questions regarding this thing here?
Yes, I will say that I do understand what the guys are saying, but I think that it's more or less of the relationship that you have, and with that, in that, you know, the enemy can come in, but if we're talking about people of God and we're talking about a relationship that where we already done sat down and we done had conversation, you know, it's okay for it to go into the place of, you know what, you get in your corner and let me get in mine. Yes, if you go outside, and because we talked about this before too on Monday on relationships way back, you know, of you leaving the house, because when a man leaves the house, and yes, it's easy for your mind to wander, and a woman too. I mean, I don't leave women out too. You know, our minds can wander too, and we can get into a place, and, you know, because of the anger, because of how we're feeling, you know, and go into making a phone call or seeing somebody, and, you know, and now the enemy done came in and took your mind, and you someplace where you know that you shouldn't even be. So I do get that piece. But I'm saying that as far as when you get to a place and in the relationship and you say no to me, if we're good, I should not have to think about that you're cheating on me. I should not have to think about you could be tired. I mean, everybody gets tired, but my thing is when you take a nap, you know, and then when you get up, now you got to handle what you got to handle, you know. But in the mix of that, you know, we have to be mindful that sometimes that insecurity on either side, you know, it goes into how we are feeling and how a man is feeling. So if I know that that's your insecurity, then therefore, you know, I need to be able to help you in that area so you don't, so your mind doesn't wander of negativity of that, you know, well, maybe she's cheating on me, or maybe she don't want me, or maybe, you know. So we have, it goes right back to that conversation that we have to get to, you know, before all this anger jumps up. You know, and a lot of times if we take it and put it to the side, and like you said, once you become intimate, you might come back and, you know what, forget it. I ain't even thought about it no more. You know, everything is happy. But till the next time,
So now you got to look at it that everything is going to pile on top of each other. So now it's going to come back when the next argument comes. Now we didn't take care of the first one or the fifth one or however many was before that, because we kept taking sex and putting it, or lovemaking, whichever way you want to say it, and putting it as a crutch and never dealt with the issue. So
you
when we get to the place of not dealing. Yeah.
Go.
Oh, so when we don't never get to the issue, you know, we're allowing the enemy still to come in. You might not have seen that snake head jump up yet, but don't think that their head is not going to come up. That's why I said when he shot her, you know, it probably was way more than that, stuff that had built up that they never took care of. So we have to get to the place of knowing that intimacy. That was good. We have to know that it plays a part of conversation too. Baby, what you like? What do you do? What do I do that you don't like? And vice versa. Having that conversation, that's sexy too, because now you're being vulnerable with each other and being able for that person to come in. So where that we don't have to get to this place of where that, you know, you got to go and play basketball. But I hear what Pastor K is saying. He absolutely right. Because once you go out, you might not play ball in the basketball court. You might be playing it somewhere else. So I do get
Now that's mm-hmm. my issue. That's my issue. My issue is, okay, we're talking about somebody in the Lord. Today we're talking about church folk. We're talking about people in mm-hmm. the Lord. So me and you get into an argument. I say no because I need a break. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want nobody pouncing on me. Okay. I didn't say no forever, but I'm just saying let's go to a neutral corner. Okay. So you go out and now, you know, Pastor KL said, you know, now you didn't bruise my ego pretty much. And now I storm out the house. Now I got to be concerned about now you not making it to the basketball court because I didn't bruise an ego, and now you gonna go where the ego gets struggled. I mean, are we talking about Christian people here? You know that's my issue. We ain't talking about the regular non-believer. We're talking about somebody who's supposed to be God's people. Because remember now, the premise is we don't say no. You know, we're talking about the Bible verse. So we're not applying the biblical verse to the non-believer. We're applying this biblical verse to the believer. So now you've got you got a bruised ego, and now I got to worry about this ego ain't being stroked, and now you leaving the house. Because you brought up a very good point, and I did manage to write down before I forgot this part of it, and then that's when you walked on this part. So let we got some time. We can address both issues. So Minister AJ, Pastor Charlene brought up the issue of, okay, so you don't withhold favor, let's call it that, like that, from one another because the enemy has an opportunity to slide up in there and cause division between the two of you in many ways, not just, you know, you go cheating, in many ways. But Pastor Charlene brings up another good point of, okay, so like we said earlier, now you know, you have your way. So now Minister AJ, he has his way, or AJ has his way in the house, and, you know, she gives in. And now y'all not coming back to that argument. Ain't nobody talking about it. Most times it goes on, and, you know, everybody walked off, and now ain't nobody think about these situations no more until the next time, which now gives the enemy another foothold in just through another door for another reason. What's your thought on that one? Are you talking to the mute button, Minister AJ?
Oh, Lord, I was praying that my answer was in the vein, was spiritual. No, I'm joking. No, when you're talking about a godly man and a godly woman, I feel like the situation has to be revisited. And the reason why I say that, and I'm talking about somebody that's really in the Lord, somebody that's really in God, because there is scripture for everything. And a man that walks in
God versus a man who's not godly, it's always going to take things differently. You know, a man that's in God, he probably can take that walk and not allow his mind to wonder, well, I'm going to cheat, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. So it's a big difference, like Pastor Kale said, what's the relationship with God? If I'm in God, you know, and I'm getting married for all the right reasons, because there's some people who get married and don't understand that it's a covenant between you, you know, your wife, and also God. So you have to, it's where the man is at in his relationship. But if he's got a good grip on God, he's not going to allow situations to fester and keep going on and on. He's going to sit down with his wife. We're going to bring the biblical text. We're going to say what it is, and we're going to move on. You know, that's just my view on it. You know, and I feel like that's how it really is. When you've got a lot of word in you, you want to say what it is. And the best way to do it is a lot of times the best way is to bring the scriptures, because you can't argue with that. If it's clear-cut day and you understand what we're reading and I understand, it's clear-cut, you know. But at the end of the day, because we're grown, don't get it twisted. Makeup sex is some of the best sex. It don't have to be where he's throwing your leg out the window and all that. I'm telling you. And I feel like if he's doing that, that's just his spirit, period. But makeup sex can be making love, okay? So don't think of it like that. Some of the best sex is makeup sex.
Now, are we talking as a Christian man or a non-Christian man? I just want to make sure.
Well, in my former life, no. I think it's either or, to be honest with you.
No,
you
we're not. No,
honest?
Okay. So then, okay. So we. Okay. So so that's where the division comes in. It is what it is, and I'm not mad. I'm asking again. I need y'all to follow the bouncing ball here. I'm talking. We talking about church folk. So are we talking church folk? Church folk, or are we talking about church folk play people who you know don't go to church and just say I believe in God?
Even church, definitely for church folk. Because, you know, y'all are married. You know, you're sharing something spiritually. You're coming together. You know, and I feel like sometimes we're looking at arguments like, oh, I have to be way over the hill and crazy. Sometimes, especially coming together spiritually, especially if y'all were designed to be together, it can be a beautiful thing. And you can have sex, make up sex, as a married couple and a spiritual couple, and then talk about it. You get what I'm saying? I think sometimes when you put off, you give too much time for the thinking, and for men, I don't think it's good. I really don't honestly believe it's good. When we think it goes the opposite way. Like Pastor Kale said, now I feel like you're rejecting me, which is a whole nother level of feelings now.
But then where's the godliness? Why are we going to I'm feeling rejected? If that's why I want to make the distinction between always speaking from a godly point, or are we talking from a carnal point? If we're talking from a carnal point, my question becomes, why is it, if I'm asking you, okay, listen, I don't want makeup sex. I don't want makeup sex. I want to have something where we're both enjoying. I understand we just got finished having a heated discussion, an argument, however you want to term it, but I'm just asking you, go fry a burger, go talk to your boy, go play a basketball game, go do whatever you got to do. We come back later, and I'm not saying no forever. I'm just saying no for right now. Why can't this be a thing where you, where's the godliness that says that I don't understand where you're coming from, but immediately I take it as some level of rejection? That's what I'm trying to understand, why we're not there as Christian people.
Well, first of all, the enemy is the prince of the air, period. So he don't pick and choose when he wants to afflict your mind with something. You get what I'm saying? We have, listen, when the sons of God came to present themselves, the Bible says Satan came also. You know what I mean? So we don't have control over that, what the enemy will try to flip our minds with.
Hold on. I got to stop there. Because I want to make sure I understand. First of all, let's set the record straight. The enemy cannot touch your mind. That is not biblical. Let's make sure we're there. We're in mutual agreement there. So whatever, because God would never let the enemy have access to your mind. If God let the enemy have access to your mind, we're all in trouble. So that's not the battle. That's not that type of battle. Because remember, again, it's through visual, it's through the ear gates, the eye gates, all of those things. It's not the enemy can touch your mind. So that's why I had to stop you, because I want to make sure we walk this out. Okay, not right or wrong. Let's make sure we walk this out so everybody can understand and we're not confusing people. Okay, so now we're talking about the godly person. Now, how is the enemy involved in this?
Okay.
Some moments on the side?
Now
I'm listening.
Huh?
I'm listening.
Okay, so the enemy, since he cannot touch your mind, listen, I really believe that the enemy has the ability to afflict you with thoughts. That if it wasn't true, then why are we saying that we have to cast down evil imaginations? Where are they coming from? They got to come from somewhere. And God, on top of that, can't be tempted. So where are the thoughts coming from? And that's what I'm saying. When you give yourself so much time to think, you get visuals of doing something you have no business doing, which will affect your mind. No matter how you look at it, you're going to get... It's too much time, and time has a way of playing on your emotions and your feelings and your mind. You know, listen, and like you said, the ear gate, that's how it starts. Now, you done rejected me. Now, what happens now? If I'm not, and it doesn't matter how saved you are sometimes. You know, sometimes if you don't constantly feed yourself daily and you give yourself a weak moment, it could be a week not praying, we can't tell how strong the enemy is coming. You get what I'm saying to you? Because the enemy even tried to tempt Jesus. So the temptation is coming. You know, whether it's through the mind, whether it's through the ear gates, the eyes, whatever. He's coming. That we know for sure. He's coming. And when you put off, then what happens? There's some men that may say, you know what? All right, you know, I'm just going to watch porn. It ain't going to really affect me. Like that, I'll just take care of my business. And then now it's a whole nother level. I think it's too much time. You know what I mean? I don't think, you know, go ahead and give the man the sex because it's godly. You shouldn't be putting off on him and let him enjoy yourself. You get your mind right, enjoy yourself, and then y'all can come together and talk.
Well, let me help to dispel this issue here, because just because we have problems mentally, we're going back and forth mentally, that's nothing to do with the enemy. We still work. We have a war against our flesh and our spirit, with our flesh and spirit, period. That ain't got nothing to do with the enemy. Remember now, for 1,000 years, the enemy is going to be tied down, and yet there still will be people who will say no to God. So this ultimately has nothing to do with the enemy. This has something to do with Stephanie, has something to do with AJ, has something to do with Charlene, has something to do with KL. It has nothing to do with the enemy. It's what we allow to happen to our head. So now that addresses that. Now, the other part you're saying about, you know, you now, you're not strong enough, because pretty much that's what it sounds like you're saying to me. Now, I'm going to ask Pastor Charlene what that says to her, but what does that say to you? It sounds to me that at the end of the day, that the man, because you're still using a word that I'm asking. I'm asking, why are we getting the fact that we're rejected? If I'm asking for space, I'm your wife, for God's sake. You're supposed to be covering me. You're supposed to be helping me. You're supposed to be supporting me. We will always argue in a relationship. We will always disagree. There's nothing that says in this word of God that we will never, or we will always agree. So I definitely get with, but where is your coverage and protection for Stephanie, your wife, when I can't even ask you to go sit down in a corner somewhere and just give me a minute to just regroup so that we both have an enjoyable moment without me having to worry about you feeling rejected, where now the enemy and your flesh and spirit going to be messing all around or being tempted. And now I got to worry about you leaving the house and being tempted because I asked you for 2 hours. That's my question.
The Bible.
So I'm still hearing rejection. No, it ain't got nothing to do with the Bible.
The Bible.
At the end of the day,
it
is an individual thing. No, listen, AJ. It says don't.
Unless he be tempted.
Okay, no, it doesn't say unless he be tempted. You better go get that Bible, brother. In the interim, because then it doesn't say unless you be tempted. It says it may give the enemy an opportunity to come in between. It doesn't say unless you're tempted. That's up to you.
Give the enemy the opportunity to be tempted.
So then where is our willpower? So we're going to fall because the enemy has the ability?
If God himself allowed this to be written in his Bible, he's already shown you the strength of how the enemy is in.
He can.
What you mean?
I'm not arguing with you whether he can. I'm in 100% agreement because you still tap dancing around what I'm saying. I agree with you 100%. I was the one who brought up the scripture. I was the one who introduced the scripture. Don't forget. Y'all ain't brought that to me. I brought that to the table saying that this is what we have been instructed not to do. Fine. My personal question is, why does it have to go in that direction? What do we have that we're bringing to the table as Christians? Because we're not supposed to be walking alone. If we were walking alone, then I would be in 100% agreement with the fact that, hey, you know what? The temptation would be too heavy. We can't fight. But the word of God also says there is no temptation that is uncommon to man, but that God would not give a way out. So we don't have to succumb to the temptation. It's there. You're absolutely right. We take a heavy chance of it being there.
We're married. So now do we pick and choose when the don't is inserted? We don't pick and choose. It says don't.
Wow.
So now we pick and choose when we insert the don't. You understand what I'm saying? If it's saying clearly, it can.
It says don't because it can. It still does not answer my question. That's what I'm saying. I got what you're saying. I'm not in disagreement with what you're saying.
I said it depends on how godly the man is. The man is godly. I said that already. You can walk away and have that conversation because I said a man will always have the scripture for that. I said that already. I agree with that. I said that. You know, a godly man is always going to have scripture. So he understands this faith, but then there's times where he's going to want it. And it doesn't mean that he's going to be throwing you around, throwing you out the way. It doesn't mean that. This is what he may need at the moment. It's guaranteed. A man needs sex and a woman needs affection.
Okay.
It's just what it is. Okay. Most of men's downfall is because of sex or lack of.
Okay.
It's not even just money. It's sex.
Thank you so much for that conversation. Thank you so much. I'm sure we gave a whole lot of thought to the listening audience. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pastor Charlene, Pastor Minister AJ, thank you so much. Comments from the listeners, thank you so much for our heated discussion today. And prayerfully, we'll all go in our corners and God will address all of our concerns and all of our levels of Christianity. All right. I pray you have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
You do the same. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Oh, boy. We got time for prayer. Absolutely. We always have time for prayer or a benediction, but we got some moments so we can go before the Lord and whole hand and whole heart. We're never too far from God. I don't care how heated the conversation gets. Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we thank you. Thank you so much for touching our lives this morning, waking us up this morning and getting us started on our way. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, because we can have discussions, even if it gets heated, God, and just be able to still hold hands and hold hearts. And we're grateful to Heavenly Father for you even allowing us to talk openly. Because, God, this answered something for someone. This gave someone an opportunity, God, to look in the mirror and just assess how close we are with you, dear Heavenly Father. We gave opportunity to Heavenly Father in our conversation for us to really be able to sit and look at your word and dissect your word and let your word speak to our hearts. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for everybody who was here to listen, dear God, and who offered up a word of comment to Heavenly Father. And we're thanking you, dear God, that you give us a frame of mind to be able to think, that we're not robots, dear Heavenly Father, but that we have an opportunity to come to you willingly, that we have an opportunity to choose you willingly, dear Heavenly Father, and that we allow you to ultimately speak to us. Thank you, dear God. We're thanking you, dear Heavenly Father, for the health and strength of all of our ministers, God, the health and strength of all of our listeners. And, Lord, we're just going to ask you to just be with Pastor Ed at this time, dear Heavenly Father, as he's about his family and work, dear Heavenly Father, that he is well and that he is safe, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, again, we thank you for your word that helps to determine where we are in you and what is right, what is wrong, what is good, is bad. Lord, we just ask you to give us the strength to yield not to temptation, that each and every time that we do feel ourselves pulled away, that we reach for you, dear Heavenly Father, that we reach for your Son who died for this particular area of our life, God, that he showed how he, even at his weakest point, was tempted but did not yield, dear Heavenly Father. And we love you, God, for just investing in us just one more time, God, and that everyone would see exactly what it is that you would need us to see at the end of the day. We thank you, dear God, for a blessed moment, and we pray that we have a blessed rest of the day. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Ah, boy, can we get into some conversations? You know, it's funny. I've said to you all before, we will never run out of conversation as long as we have the news. You know, we started off talking about, you know, feeling discriminated against when we go into our workplace and we've been given a reprieve of being in our home. And I want to go back to when we first were in the pandemic and we were sequestered to our home, and we talked about how, what are we doing with the time that, you know, God had us at home? Were we worried about cabin fever, or were we using it for a time to get closer to God or to deal with things that, you know, we had to do, maybe cleaning our home or whatever, or touching and reaching out to family and friends who may not have people? You know, also you talk about now, hey, you know, we don't even want to go back to work because we were dealing with those behind-the-scenes treatments. And give God thanks for the reprieve, because while you were home and possibly getting cabin fever and scratching your head as to what you could be doing or why you were being sequestered at home, this was a way that God could have been giving you an opportunity to learn how to deal with it, so that when it was time to go back into the workforce, you know, well, sometimes we get a vacation, it's a week. Sometimes we get blessed with a vacation, it's 2 weeks. And sometimes at the end of the day, those vacations are just not long enough. Well, some of us had up to a whole entire year to be home. and not have to worry about going into an environment that was silently toxic to our existence, where we didn't feel wanted or appreciated. And even like Minister AJ said, you know, some people are given an opportunity to pick and choose. And most people don't get that opportunity. You're just told, hey, we're opening up the building. You have to be vaccinated or you're going to get tested. There's nothing that you have to choose from. It's laid out for you. So what did you do when you were home? What did you do when you were home? Did you, you know, go to God and ask God and deal with it somehow? Because at the end of the day, whether we can stay home or not is not optional either. You know, we have no other choice but to go back to work. So what do? Do you quit your job? Remember, the article said, well, hey, some people opt to quit. Well, if you quit, you more than likely don't get unemployment. So all the benefits that you saw people were getting, that's because they lost their job, not because they were being forced to, not because they quit on their own. So, you know, utilize the time that God gives you to learn how to deal with these things, because he does give you, he knows what situation you're in. He knows if your job is a pleasant one. He knows if your job is one that, you know, is heavy on you. And, you know, you find it hard. You know, how many people say, I'm going back to that plantation? And I'm like, oh, what a way to look at your job. You know, what a way to look at the source of your income. God is not unmindful of what you're going through on a job. So utilize the time that God gives you and pray and ask God, you know, okay, so if I'm forced to go back, how do I deal with this? You know, how do I address the treatment? You know, how do I get through the day? Because it's an 8-hour long day. And we don't ever want to go to a job where we're not happy with or we don't feel like we're being treated properly. But at the end of the day, it's still the provision that God has given us. So we don't want to quit, because then what are we saying about the provision of God? How are we appreciating what God is giving? But we have to learn how to deal with it. We have to learn to look. You know, and how to look and how we are. Did you take that time when you were away to prepare yourself, you know, as to better yourself and, you know, how you can now go look for another job? It's not as easy trying to find another job. So, you know, also we talked about the husband and the wife, you know, where there were many issues here. Again, we go back to the fact that there was a domestic violence issue here. And, you know, had he pulled the gun earlier but never pulled the trigger? You know, what had she been going through all that time? Was she ignoring it and maybe now thinking that things were going to be better later and it was safe to say no? And at the end of the day, it wasn't safe to actually say no. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we have to look at when we're in our relationships, you know, always sticking around. You know me, you know, with this domestic violence thing. I'm like, get out and get out quickly, because we don't ever want to see it escalate to a point where someone, man or woman, pulls, because we've been doing news on all kinds of crazy people. It doesn't matter, woman or man, but in this, you know, case we're talking about the man and how, you know, you just are a sitting duck. Get out. Get out and get out quickly, because it can escalate to this point. You know, giving God thanks that, you know, again, it did not kill her. And she was the one who could tell the story. How often does that happen? So, you know, this is, you know, something that I'm sure she was out and he's arrested. So, you know, there's a different issue. But for those of us who are listeners to this story, get out. Get out and get out now. Do not sit around. Do not think it's going to get better. You know, it doesn't mean divorce, because we've had that conversation before in different church discussions. You know, immediately when people talk about getting out of a domestic violence arena, you know, immediately people talk about divorce. Well, there's nothing God can't do. Can God change that abuser around? Absolutely. Absolutely. We serve a God that can do anything but fail. Separation is the key. You know, go, leave. You do not have to necessarily divorce, but you need to get out and give God some opportunity to work with the person, especially if they're repenting. You know, never know. I'm not saying go back. I'm not saying stay away. I'm not saying get a divorce. I'm not saying stay in the marriage. What I am saying is step away and give God an opportunity to work. Because if you are there with that person, male or female, if you are there with that person, and because you're together, that relationship is toxic, doesn't necessarily mean it's your fault. We're talking about just a toxic relationship, period. You are not going to be able to help that person. That person needs help, and the help that they need, it can't come from you. Can't come from you at all, because you see where the person's head is, that is abusive. So, you know, pray that you have a decent church home where you can get some word from the word from the Lord, because we don't want to go back to, you know, the conversations we've had where the church has failed you, but they need some type of therapy and counseling, and so do you. Moving on, not discussing it is not going to help you. Not going to help you at all. You're going to have to take that time to, and especially if you have children, get them out of the toxic relationship as well, and make sure that God can deal with everybody in their neutral corners. Make sure you position yourself to be dealt with, that you give that person, you know, sometimes we're so clingy and we're so accustomed to the treatment, we don't want to let go. Oh, there's been situations like that as well. The person, it needs to be away from you, and you don't want to let go. I don't know how I'm going to make it, and I don't know where my help is going to come from, and how am I going to get the money. And those things are secondary to safety. Those things are secondary to counseling and giving that opportunity for that person to go and step away and get the help they need. Because if you two stick around one another, somebody may end up in the grave or somebody may end up in jail. And we don't want that. If you really love that person, then do what needs to be done. And yes, this is in Christian relationships as well. It is just as toxic sometimes, just as dangerous sometimes. And again, you don't always get the best guidance and advice from people who are in the Lord, and we've heard that already. So we don't want to make you know, we want to make sure we steer clear, and we want to make sure that we seek God, because again, God gets no glory out of your life. He did not leave us here. He did not keep us here. He did not birth us to be somebody's punching bag or somebody's sounding board. And we understand, you know, people get a little heated and they need to, you know, get that off their chest. But you know what? If you love and truly love, get them the help they need, and you get the help you need, and separate and do what you have to do so that God can do his perfect work in everybody's life, if you are repentant enough to let it happen and willing. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for hanging in there with us and having this conversation. It has to get like this sometimes. No, I'm not arguing, but we have to get like this sometimes. All right, so let's make sure that we know how to love one another at all points of the angle, okay? And I want to thank you, listeners, for joining in on the conversation. Couldn't do it without you. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, well, Wednesday, if God spares our life, I love you.